When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on a Football Monday, driven by your local area Honda dealer. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. Matt Verderam, scheduled to join us from Sports Illustrated as we talk some NFL. I was telling the boys during the break that I actually saw online a rare, this is not quite the trigger that Eric Bieniemy is for EB, but a Chase Young highlight.
Okay, pretty close.
And Cake saw it too. It was an interesting play. He was coming off the field, thought he was out of the game, and then another player comes off the field, and the coach is like, Chase, get back on there, and he runs onto the field, and there's a screen pass, and he blows him up. So good for Chase Young.
I think it's lucky timing for him more than anything else. I don't think it was that special, but that's just me. Maybe it's just Chase Young residue that I have from the past years.
He's certainly not lighting it up. He's now to 3.5 sacks, Cakes.
Yeah.
All right, Matt Verderam joins us from Sports Illustrated. What's up, Matt?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Hey, doing
so,
great.
So here in Washington, it was kind of weird not having the Commanders play on Sunday since they played on Thursday night. I wanted to start with you there. They've lost the last two, lost the Steelers. That game could have gone either way. The Eagles, look, with 7 or 8 minutes left in the game, the Commanders have a chance to take a lead, 13-12. But ultimately, the Eagles look like the better team, far superior. Where do you see the Commanders right now in the NFC picture?
I still think they have a good shot to win the division, honestly. I mean, look, they're going to get Philly in a handful of weeks here in Washington. And I think their schedule is advantageous compared to what Philadelphia is looking at. So, but I still think the Commanders have every shot in the world of getting to where they want to be and winning the division. Now, the flip side of that is if they don't win the division, the wild card picture is looking better and better. The Niners can't win a game. They just seemingly cannot figure out what's wrong with them. So they're 5-5. The Bears lost again. The Rams, they've got themselves to 5-5, so does Seattle. But, I mean, Washington clearly has a cushion there. So I still think if you're the Commanders, you feel like you're in good shape. Worst-case scenario, it'd be a wild-card team. But I think, just looking at the way they played the last few weeks, you're right. I mean, the Steelers game, that's a game that you say, you know what, would have really liked to have won that game. But, it wasn't like they were really outplayed. I'd like to see Daniels just get healthy and run more. I wrote about that a little bit. Like, the last handful of weeks, he's just not really ran for any meaningful yardage. That's a big difference from earlier in the year before he got hurt. So, they need his legs, because without his legs, that running game just doesn't have the same feel.
Let's stick in the NFC East. About half an hour ago, Adam Schefter tweeted that Daniel Jones is being benched and Tommy DeVito will be taking over. No Drew Locke coming out of the bye. The Giants look like they're going with Tommy DeVito. You can't be surprised that Daniel Jones is benched at this point. He has a guarantee in his contract. If he were to get injured, they would be on the hook for, I think it's like $40 million to pay him. So no big surprise. Daniel Jones showing the bench. Just a disastrous season continues for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Giants have been an atrocity now for the better part of a dozen years. I mean, really, since they won Super Bowl 46, I mean, they've not been able to find any kind of continuity, especially after Manning and Coughlin were out the door. And, you know, the big question now with the Giants here is Dable gone after this year? Or does Mara decide, hey, look, I actually think you can be a good coach. We had a quarterback. You know, the Giants, it's going to be one of these things where you go into this draft, and obviously we're a ways away from it, but when we get there, they're going to go into the draft, and they have to find a quarterback. But, it's not like this draft is overflowing with them. I mean, you have Cam Ward, you have Shador Sanders, but Shador Sanders, as talented as he is, he comes with a lot of extra stuff with his father. So, you know, the Giants are in a spot here where, look, you know it's not going to be Daniel Jones next year, but who's it going to be? It's not as easy as just saying, well, they need a new quarterback. Okay, they do. A lot of teams do. And there's not a bevy of them that most people in the NFL would tell you are going to be there that are worthy of a top 10, top 15 pick. So, look, the Giants had to bench Jones. They did it. But, you know, this is more of a Band-Aid on the Titanic right now than there's anything else.
Mm. Matt, let's talk about an actually good team in the NFC. Might be the best team in the whole NFC is the Detroit Lions. I mean, what they're doing to teams right now, they're just dismantling teams. They're 9-1. They have games of 42, 47, and 252 balls that they've put up, including yesterday against the Jaguars. I mean, I've grown up my entire life, and the Lions have been a laughingstock. The Lions are a laughingstock no more. That team is built kind of in Dan Campbell's image. They're tough. They can run the ball with both Gibbs and Montgomery. And they've got an explosive quarterback with nice weapons around him. Like, they look like a Super Bowl favorite the way they're playing these past few weeks.
Look, I love what the Lions are doing. My preseason, and then we did our midseason picks. I mean, both of them, I had the Lions and Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And I feel more confident about that now than I did 3 months ago. The Lions have games where they just destroy you, as you illustrated with some of those numbers. Now, I don't know. There's a part of you that says the Titans and the Jags are so bad that I almost expect teams like the Lions to hang 40-plus on them. It's just – I mean, Jacksonville's not even trying anymore. Jacksonville – for anybody who watched that game, and I know there are probably like 8 people who watch that game who are all Lions fans – Jacksonville wasn't even making an attempt to tackle that game. I mean, it was almost like if they could have put up a neon sign of "we're quitting," they would have done it. But the Lions have been spectacular. They are very well balanced. Look, my big question with the Lions is really my only question is when they get in the playoffs and they play a team like Philadelphia, like San Francisco, if San Francisco can get it together at some point here. Without Hutchinson, do they have a pass rush? Mm-hmm. Or does it turn into a game where the Lions have to score 40 points against a really good team in a playoff setting because they can't get home and the corners are okay, but you can throw on them? Like, that to me is the one unanswered question, because a lot of these teams they've been crushing are teams that just are basically defenseless. Obviously right now you'd have to say they're the best team in the NFC, if not the NFL. You want to say Kansas City, fine, but Detroit right now is, you know, they put it on people one after the next.
Talking about Verderam, NFL writer for Sports Illustrated. So you said you'd still go with Detroit against KC. So KC loses their first game yesterday against Buffalo. That's happened before in the regular season. I saw that you tweeted about Josh Allen's run, and I'm wondering if that lifts him up in the MVP consideration, because it had been kind of a foregone conclusion, at least, you know, through this part, that Lamar was going to win it again. He has unbelievable numbers. But they've lost 4 games. Now, all of a sudden, the Bills are right there. How legit of a threat do you think the Bills are? Like, nobody wanted to buy into them because of all the guys they lost in the offseason. But now you're looking at 8-2 team.
Yeah. Listen, I can honestly say I never understood why people sold stock on them this offseason. Like, they lost a lot of names, but they didn't lose a ton of talent. Like, Gabe Davis and Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer had great careers. Neither one can play anymore. Hyde's not even in the league. Poyer's been awful in Miami. Tre'Davious White was a great player. Unfortunately, injuries just sapped him of a lot of his ability. So I always thought they'd win the division. I didn't think they'd win the Super Bowl. I think now you've got to sit there and say, hey, look, they obviously could. I mean, they're a half game back in Kansas City. They've got a breaker. They're going to win that division by a million games. Look, I put it this way. I think there are 2 teams that can win the Super Bowl in the AFC, and it's those 2 teams. I don't think Baltimore can do it. Baltimore can't stop anybody.
What about the Steelers? Oh. You're not buying in.
No, I'm not. They have no offense. Their defense is great, and Tomlin is to me so underrated. Steelers fans have been complaining about Tomlin for years, so I'll never understand. I think that Pittsburgh is a threat in any game they play because of their defense. But I don't believe in Wilson. Anybody watched that game yesterday?
He had an awful interception.
That's one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see in your life. And then on top of that, look, they were gifted multiple field goals because of turnovers. They couldn't get in the end zone. Against Allen or Mahomes in a playoff game, I just don't think they're going to win the game. But, look, they are dangerous much more than in years past. Baltimore going to have a game where they score 40 points on just about anybody. The problem is they may give up 40 points to anybody. It's one of those things they got to show it to me at this point. I have seen this movie with the Ravens for years on end, where they look unbelievable in certain regular season games, and they're great, and then they get to the playoffs, and they got to throw, and the whole thing goes sideways. So I think Kansas City, I still think the Chiefs are the best team in the conference. The Chiefs have done this for years now, where they muddle through the regular season, they don't really care, they get in the playoffs, and they turn into the Terminator. I am taking that team until somebody knocks them out.
What about the Chargers? I know you're not going to say they're up there with the two teams you mentioned as a possible team to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, but I mean, Justin Herbert's having a really good year, and yeah, they're mostly beating up on inferior opponents. I get that, but at some point you're looking like Harbaugh's got something going there.
He does. Look, I would put them in the same class I put Pittsburgh. I don't think they can go to the Super Bowl. I just simply don't think they have enough offensively. But I think you could catch them on a day where they out-physical you with the line, they force a few turnovers, and they win. Both of those teams are very similar in the regard that they're defense first, and they know who they are. They have an identity. They're well coached. Now, they obviously, the Chargers have a better quarterback than Steelers do. I think the Chargers, if the Chargers, and it looks for all intents and purposes, they will get in the playoffs. They get in the playoffs and they go play a team like Buffalo. I would pick Buffalo. I would pick Kansas City. But there is a world where you're watching that game going, man, that team just can't score. And when you're that good defensively, and it goes for the Steelers as well, when you're that good defensively, you keep the games low, you keep them tight, and you keep it to where, hey, if you force a turnover, that might be enough to win. If you make one big play, you have one great drive, that might be enough to win. Whereas, on the flip side of that with Baltimore, you might have to have five great drives because you just can't get off the field. And that's where I do think a team like the Chargers is interesting, because they could have a game where even against a really good offense, they'll hold you to 17 points. And if you do that, you're always going to be in the game.
Matt, am I stepping into a massive trap? And I know I'm getting ahead of myself because Dallas is playing tonight. Am I getting ahead of myself by saying there's no way a Commanders team led by Jaden Daniels is going to lose to a Dallas team led by either Cooper Rush or Trey Lance coming into Northwest Stadium next week? Is that foolish of me?
No. Dallas is kind of like the name brand version of the Jags right now, mm-hmm. where I'm not quite sure anybody still wants to be playing games in Dallas. It feels like we've approached the point where it's like, okay, we know McCarthy's going to be gone. This season's been a disaster. We have absolutely no chance to win. I've always been a big believer. The schedule comes out in May, and everybody always looks at the schedule and tries to figure it out, and I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm a schedule nerd. But I've always felt like you are so much better off playing bad teams late in the season, because early in the year, bad teams don't know they're bad, right? They're out there. They're fighting as hard as anybody else. You get to this time of the year, those bad teams, those teams with no hope, and Dallas this year, obviously one of them, they just want to go home. And guys are looking at the games and going, man, I don't want to get hurt now and have to have off-season rehab. I don't want to deal with that. I got to put out decent film because, I'm a professional and, I want to make sure I get my next deal. But, you're not going to get the same level of effort. And that's not a knock, really. It's human nature. You're not going to get a guy who's going full tilt 1,000 miles an hour to make a tackle on third and two if your record is 3-9 compared to 9-3. It's the way it is. No, I would be shocked if Washington lost to Dallas.
So earlier we had this discussion about the other rookie quarterbacks. Obviously, Jaden Daniels has taken DC over. It's been awesome. The last two games they've lost, but you're still 7-4, which is way better than anybody expected. But we're starting to see these other rookie quarterbacks ascend. Now, I'm mostly just watching Red Zone. I want to get your take on what you've seen from Bo Nix and Drake May.
So I think Bo Nix has played much, much better the last month and a half or so. Early in the year, I thought he was pretty brutal. A lot of games where, you know, he would start like 4-14 for 30 yards, I mean, stuff like that. He lit the Falcons up like a Christmas tree yesterday. I mean, anybody watched any of that game, he was just gunning the ball over the field. And that wasn't just, hey, I'm going to dump it off on a screen pass and the guy runs 70 yards. He was making real throws. I think the one thing with Nix, and this is probably what's going to kind of make or break his career, when he's under pressure, he's been really bad. When he's not under pressure, he's been excellent. So can he bring that part of his game along? Because teams are eventually just going to go, hey, look, heat him up. And if you do that, he can't function. We'll see. You know, his numbers when they played Kansas City a couple weeks ago were ridiculously stark in those two buckets. With May's a hard guy. It's just, look, I've been impressed. He's just kind of got that innate playmaking ability. There's certain times with him, you know, he'll make something out of nothing. And I think that's an underrated trait with a young guy. You know, some guys are almost paralyzed by analysis. He has not done it. He's really made New England a better watch, more functional offensively. The reason I say it's tough to analyze is that their offensive line's terrible and they have no weapons. I mean, there is nobody working with less than Drake May in New England. So I've been impressed. I think he's been good. I would take May over Nix right now. I know Nix has been having some good games. He deserves a lot of credit. But I think that pressure thing still is like a blinking red light to me, where May, I don't have quite that concern about him.
If you had a redraft, the Matt Verderam,
that's the question.
Redraft, okay? Everybody, throw Caleb in the mix. Give me your top, and we'll take Penix and J.J. McCarthy off the board. But those four guys, and it's not just for this season, for the future. What would you do?
I mean, I would take Jaden Daniels one. I wouldn't blink.
Anybody
who says otherwise is a liar. No, I mean, look, anybody who says they wouldn't take Jaden Daniels one is either insane or a liar. I mean, you would absolutely do that at this point. I'm based in Chicago. Okay, Caleb Williams, I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be bad. I just think that situation's a tire fire. But I would take Daniels one. I would still probably take Caleb Williams, too. And then I would take May and then Nix. But to Nix's credit, I think that he has played in a way that if you're a Broncos fan, you have a legitimate reason to be hopeful. I think he's got to fix that pressure thing. Early on, you're like, I don't know. Now I think he's played. So, look, but Daniels, to me, far and away, if you said to me, which one of these guys do you want him? And I don't think it's that close.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree. I said before the season started, this is just a rare year, in my opinion. Now, we don't know the other two guys that JP took out, where I actually think that these guys are all pretty good. They're all going to, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a year where half your first-round picks bust.
I think historically speaking, that's what's going to happen, right?
Right.
You know, we don't. You know,
but there are outliers. This might be an outlier.
Sure. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to watch. I think part of it too is just in New England, like you have nobody. There is nobody on that team offensively. Denver, you have Sutton, and who else? I mean, you know, what was really going to be interesting for me with Daniels is like McLaurin's obviously fantastic. What happens when they get other guys on that team? That this offseason, the front office is going to go, okay, let's get another receiver. You know, let's continue to beef up the offensive line. Like that's what makes it interesting is, like, once they get another guy in that building, that you're like, okay, this guy's a real threat on the outside. That, you know, if T. Higgins leaves in Cincinnati, right, or something like that, that would be really what I'd like to see, and I think it would be very interesting.
Well, what if May got the offensive line and the weapons that you were talking about?
I think he can be really good. Yeah. I think he can be. I mean, look, New England's just there's a lot. There's a lot they've got to do. But yeah, you look at the guys. Like if I'm New England this offseason, my entire focus is that offense. I don't even care about upgrading defense. Not at some point I do, obviously. But right now, like, if I get a young quarterback, my entire focus is just, I am going to make that kid's life as easy as possible. And simultaneously, I want to have the fullest evaluation possible of him. I want to know if I've got two good receivers around that kid, a confident offensive line, a solid ground game, like, can he be a Super Bowl-type quarterback? Because, look, let's face it, the rest of this is nonsense, right? Like, nobody, I don't care if you can be the 13th best quarterback in football. I care that I can win a Super Bowl with you. So that's my entire evaluation process. And I think, you know, New England's got to do a ton. Denver's got to do a ton. Washington has the bones of a very good offense, but has to add, I think, and find another receiver. But look, it's you know, the Bears need an offensive line desperately. But it's going to be interesting to see when you get to the offseason how those teams try to attack the offseason and who's willing to go out and spend the money and, you know, knowing you got rookie contracts at quarterback. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how those teams approach it.
Matt, always a pleasure talking to you. That's Matt Verderam, NFL writer for Sports Illustrated. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Thank you, Matt.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir.
Matt joined us on a Football Monday, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Next, it's EB's entertainment page here on The Junk.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peace. Welcome back on a Football Monday, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. I was telling Cakes, I get a kick out of that guy, first round mock who we had on the show, because that guy will take some Twitter victory laps.
Sure. Who was he again? He was against Caleb, right?
He was against Caleb. I think, yeah. He said undrafted.
But he's all over the place.
Yeah.
His top graded quarterback heading into the draft, if my memory serves correct, Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, he was a big Rattler guy.
Okay, so, I mean, you have to take him with a grain of salt.
But he just tweeted out stats and it just said 27th QBR Anthony Richardson, 28th QBR Caleb Williams, number 30 QBR Will Levis. I assume he was anti all of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, Levis and Richardson, they were mostly drafted on physical potential because they didn't have these super long, successful college careers. But that guy likes to take a nice victory lap.
Yeah.
All right, let's open up EB's entertainment page, driven by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner, EB.
That's right. Sorry, I don't have the read in front of me. Cakes, this it?
Well, for the ultimate buying experience, EB.
I got to do it. I got to read it. Man, I need readers. The entertainment page, driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax, ask for my girl Miriam. She's the general manager now. Or check them out at BMWFairfax.com. Love BMW Fairfax. Mine needs a wash, by the way, Cakes. Something I need to do today.
Take it over there. Michelle will take care of it.
Do you know that somebody...
Don't they have a car wash like 2 blocks from here? Boop, boop. Right there.
I don't know.
I pay the $30 or whatever to get one, like, whenever I want to go.
Oh, you got a monthly pass?
I got a monthly pass. I should... I got it. I go in spurts. Sometimes I go months without going, and then I feel bad, and then I go four times in a week, and then I go months without going in.
I'm not the greatest car watch. Like, I'll do it from time to time, but if I see somebody that has bird poo, like, all over their car,
bird poo?
It's like, and I don't mean just, like, one or two here or there, because that can happen to anybody.
Like a flock of birds pooped on your car.
When there's 50 bird poos on a car,
right,
and people don't either wash it themselves or take it to a car wash, I get out of my car and I do this. I go, ugh. I just kind of give. It's like, it's kind of cringeworthy. Like,
right?
Do they not see
they just don't
way
care.
Their
They're
car
oblivious.
Looks?
They don't care.
I'm not a big car wash guy.
I'm not
honestly.
Either. But if I have more than five bird poos on my car,
that's a limit.
I'm gonna. I have a guy. I got a guy. So I'll have it taken care of.
I might do it three or four times, but my son has a beater car.
Yeah.
Okay, I bought him a beater. Man, whatever. It's 10 years old. Nissan Versa. It looked so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he parks right underneath trees all the time.
Sure.
All right? And bad. The leaves are coming down or whatever. It didn't look like the color of his car at all. It was completely gone. I was like, dude, you got to get a car wash.
Yeah, he needs to get it taken care of. Even beaters shouldn't be covered in bird dookie. Like, it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, it's also can't be good for the paint or whatever, even if you don't care about your car.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this, though. You mentioned monthly thing. So I saw a commercial the other day.
Trying to bum rush my EP. I see what you're doing. I hear sabotage.
Care. I tried to.
You're a saboteur.
I tried to get you to do EP earlier in the show.
I wanted more time.
Has anybody here, the three of us, three of them behind the glass, used Rocket. It's not Rocket Mortgage. The one that says that you get the app and it will go through all your subscriptions and figure out
those
subscriptions that you don't need.
I probably have a
thousand.
Has
anybody used that?
Leaks.
That commercial is very intriguing to
not.
Me. Nobody here.
Nope. Apparently it's not catching on, JP.
I wonder if it works.
But why don't you try it? Why don't you open up your cheeks and try it?
Because you probably have to pay for that and you end up like paying more for Rocket than...
You definitely have to pay for that service, but if you pay $10 a month for that service, it's better than leaking $50 a month for the subs you're not using.
Yeah.
Right? You know what's great for that is I had some fraudulent charges on my card, so I had to order another card. And then you forget about everything you have that's auto pay.
Right.
And you can make a decision about what you need, what you don't need.
Right.
I didn't realize I was spending this much on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's silly. It's one of the perks about fraudulent charges.
Right. People can tweet me at Glass Joe JP. It's not Rocket Mortgage, whatever the heck it is. I'm intrigued by that app.
Rocket Money.
Rocket Money.
Rocket Bulb.
Speaking of money. All right, this jumped out at me, Cakes, and it's a huge story in the entertainment world. Dwayne Johnson's $200 million movie opened to $34
million. Red One, I believe, is
that
the title.
That doesn't sound great. This is supposed to be their big Christmas bonanza. Is it a Christmas movie?
It is a Christmas movie, yes.
It's very goofy. Like, if you watch the trailers, they're like fighting snowmen.
I believe the premise of the movie is Santa Claus has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And I guess The Rock and Chris Evans are trying to get him back. I'll never see that movie ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie, so it's going to build up for the next month.
And they'll make it year after year after year?
No, but like it's not going to disappear after this week. Also, it's getting 90% from people who went and saw the movie on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
Really?
So it's getting... People like it who've seen it.
Huh.
Hmm.
It looks so goofy to me.
Maybe I should give it a chance. I don't know. Not sure.
So, I'm, you know, for some reason, I'm fascinated by this. The whole Brianna chicken fry breakup with Zach Bryan.
I am not fascinated by it, but I know what you're speaking of.
Okay. So Brianna Chicken Fry, she's a Barstool personality, and you know, actually Brett had her out at least once or twice to Sup Dogs.
Hey, if you have chicken in your name, you're always welcome. Come on in.
And fry.
She went public like a week or two ago, and she said that the Bryan people actually offered her $12 million to sign an NDA.
Yeah.
And God bless her, she said no.
Yeah.
She says, you're not going to buy my silence.
It's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah. She's like, I'll get my own
you're
money.
You're going to put a piece of paper in front of me. It says, sign this, and you get $12 million right. not to talk about so, somebody? Please give me that paper.
She had claimed, you know, that he was like kind of like emotionally abusive and that sort of thing. And I thought about it and go, yeah, that must be really pretty abusive, like to offer $12 million. Like, what is he hiding? And now she claims she's got a video of him, like, throwing stuff at
and
her.
And I said this last week, I think, when this story first came up. If he didn't know how to play guitar and sing, he's like a four. I mean, he's also
a short knocker.
He's just a dorkorama.
Right.
And there's no way he's pulling a chick that looks like that if he is, like,
supposedly
working at a bank.
Did we talk about this here? That other artists say he's a douche. He's kind of known
for
being a douche.
I know nothing.
But she claims she has video of him throwing objects at her. And I guess she's threatening this because I'm trying to piece this together. I don't have the whole story, so I'm sure you can correct me where I'm wrong. Is he trolling her by posting pictures of her cat? So is he like is he keeping the cat or something? Is this all about a pet?
I don't know.
She says if he keeps posting pics and videos of her cat, then she's going to share a clip of where he's whipping S at my face.
It's a bad breakup. There's two sides to every story. Maybe he kidnapped her cat. Maybe it was both her cats, and she's just telling her side of the story. You don't know. He hasn't said anything. I think it's unfair to just believe whatever a chick who was dumped by a guy.
I would agree, but
she was madly in love with him until he dumped her.
Okay, but why'd they offer $12 million to sign an NDA?
I don't know, and I don't even know if that's true. $12 million. Nobody knows. NDAs also, Antonio Brown, I saw him ranting about it on Twitter. He said every celebrity offers
Literally every single one. Except that Zach Bryan, supposedly his net worth currently, believe it or not, is allegedly around $12 million. Now, they know he's going to make tens of millions in his career, hundreds of millions, because he's a superstar.
Newsflash, rock stars are a-holes.
I mean, you got a relationship with your team, Zach?
I'm not on team.
I'm team chicken fry.
I don't care about either one. I just think I'm tired of hearing about
that's
one
the team
side,
I'm on.
On one person's side of the relationship.
All right, what if she releases the video of him chucking stuff at her?
Then Zach Bryan's probably a bad guy. She might be a bad girl. I don't know. Like, he's not saying anything. She could be crazy, too.
She might be crazy.
What does she talk about on her show?
She just like
I've never heard of her.
I don't really watch her show that she does with her like BFF, but I know she does.
I mean, I've only heard of her on this show.
Yeah. She does a show with Portnoy and this other TikTok kid. You know, they talk about celebrities. They talk about dumb stuff. They talk about literally nothing of value.
It's not highbrow like this show.
Yeah, it's not like this is like educating.
This think tank.
They don't give you Taysom Hill nuggets like Cakes does.
All right.
I'm going to stew on that for the rest of the month.
I know you're desperate for me to get to this story, so I'm going to do it for you. Urkel, Jaleel White. Did you guys see the story?
No, but I know that you've always talked about Urkel and like a couple other people being part of some underground.
Gay underground.
The secret gay Hollywood underground.
Now that stuff's way more real than you realize. But I have no idea about Urkel in particular there. But he claims that they had to take away his suspenders and tight high-waisted pants in season 8 because he had too big of a bulge. Oh,
he'd outgrown his Urkel outfit?
He had outgrown the outfit, and he had to hide.
It's always who you least suspect. Yeah.
His package.
He holding. Urkel holding.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, who knows?
That just made Valdez's day. Look at that smile.
Valdez put this right under the top story. He wanted me to get to this so bad.
Did I do that?
You guys don't know his alter ego's name when he went into the machine and came out super smooth.
No.
I've heard of it.
I don't think I ever watched Family Matters.
I'm going to be pissed when you say it.
I didn't watch the show.
The first letter. First letter.
Well, it's a playoff Steve Urkel.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stefan Urkel.
Yeah, everyone remembers Stefan Urkel.
Everybody on that side of the glass does. This side, a lot of blank faces.
What did they call Fridays?
TGIF.
Yeah, TGIF. It was just TGIF.
Yeah, of course.
You love all
different generations.
You went to dinner there on this past week.
I did, but I didn't know. I don't know the lineup from TGIF.
You don't know Family Matters, and then Step by Step.
Nobody remembers that.
These guys do. You guys love Richie Cunningham trivia.
Yes, yeah.
That's more about wheelhouse.
Yeah. We're old. Yeah.
If you give me Fonzie trivia, I'm going to knock it out of the park.
Hey, fellas, you know Thanksgiving means food, family, and of course football. And to make your holiday tailgate even better, how about the Thanksgiving must-have, Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka? I had a soccer party yesterday, a big hit with the Surfside. They're delicious, perfect for any Friendsgiving or family gathering, available in convenient variety. 8-packs, each can of Surfside, only 100 calories. And the best part, no bubbles, no troubles, zero carbonation. So you can sip, relax, and cheer on your team all day long. Ask for Surfside iced tea and vodka at your local bars and liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Welcome back on a Football Monday, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Tonight, you've got the Texans and the Cowboys, so you'll get a look at who the Commanders will be facing next week. It is Dallas week, but this Dallas team is imploding. Only two teams, if you look at the conference, below them. Time now for the Honda Huddle, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Contact them for a great deal today. Two teams below them in the NFC. Wanted to focus on Joe Burrow. Here are Joe Burrow's stats in the 7 losses this season. This is incredible. He's completed 163 of 285 passes. That's 67% for 2,156 yards in just 7 games. 18 touchdowns with 2 picks, and they've lost 7 games that way. Think about that. Your quarterback has 18 touchdowns and 2 picks, and they've lost 7 of them. Last night, another good game for Joe Burrow statistically, but in the end, his field goal kicker missed 2. McPherson missed 2 field goals, and the Bengals are now 4-7. The Bengals have the league leader in passing yards. They have the league leader in receiving yards in Ja'Marr Chase. They have the league leader in sacks. And I want to posit this to you because I don't think this team gets thought of as the team that's going to fire their coach. But if I'm Bill Belichick, that's the team that I want to coach.
Well, of course. Maybe, but that defense needs a lot of work. I mean, they've starting with the Commanders, here's what they've given up on defense. 38 in the losses. 38, 41, 37, 35, 34 last night. So Joe Burrow's attractive, but you don't know if they're retaining Ja'Marr Chase. You don't know what's going to happen with T. Higgins. It's more fragile than you think.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the model of the Chargers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look it up right now. I think the Chargers had a historically bad defense last season, and now they're amongst the best, and you have the quarterback in place in Justin Herbert that can lead you to a winning record. And so I'm looking at this year's Bengals like I would have looked at as the Chargers, where Harbaugh comes in and turns them around into a team that is 7-3 right now. The Chargers were, in terms of yardage, were 28th in the NFL last season. And if you look at where they are this season, let me punch it up real quick, but they're at the top. I know in points per game, let's see.
I love the
Chargers are number one in points per game. So he took a 28th ranked defense. All right, now that was yardage. And they're number one in points. And I feel like, all right, in yardage, they're a little further down the list. But put Bill Belichick with Joe Burrow at quarterback, and I think he lifts them right back up to being... I mean, they. If you've watched the Bengals this year, they've lost some really close games. Chiefs game, there's that pass interference call. This game, they've got 2 missed field goals. Like, it's been a lot of misfortune.
I mean, it's a better...
Ravens games have both been close. He's got 9 touchdowns in those games.
Burrow is clearly a better starting point than a lot of the other trash quarterbacks at teams that are going to fire their head coaches or have already fired them. But if he's losing his top 2 weapons and starting from scratch, I don't really love that.
Top 2 weapons. Give me the 2, Ja'Marr Chase.
T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
You're convinced that they would both be gone. They could franchise Ja'Marr Chase.
Was it their whole deal that they just don't pay people? So how's he?
I mean, they've
got
the opportunity to extend Ja'Marr Chase before the season, during the season. I mean,
they paid Joe Burrow.
I don't know that he's going to be there after this season. I'd be a little bit worried about that if I were Bill Belichick.
I guess the good news is you have a salary floor now, right? So they have to at least
you have
get
to spend
to
at least
90% or whatever it is.
Right. I don't know. I could see Bill Belichick if they fired Taylor. And there's no foregone conclusion. His name really isn't kind of thrown in there in terms of the teams that are going to be firing their coaches. And you put Bill Belichick in there, I think it would have the same effect that Harbaugh's had with the Chargers. Because, all right, you say their defense is trash. Don't you think Bill Belichick would make their defense better?
They should be better. I don't know if they'd magically overnight turn into a top five or top 10 defense if they're that bad at this point.
So what openings do we think pretty sure? You think
Jacksonville. 100%.
The Giants.
Jacksonville, you think Dable for sure?
Yes.
Some reason I believe he could survive. And even when we talked to Matt Verderam,
they like kind of left it open, right?
Yeah.
Who else for
the Raiders.
Sure? Eberflus.
I mean, the Jets are on an interim. The Saints are on an interim. So both those teams, the Jets and the Saints, are looking
and
for
And the
coaches.
Cowboys. Did we mention? I mean, we have to mention the Cowboys, right?
Right.
I mean, you're not retaining Mike McCarthy after the season.
The Raiders keep their guy. It's only been 1 year.
Pierce?
I think so.
He could be let go.
I think he would stay. This is 1 year. But Jets, Saints, Cowboys, Bears, they're going to be at least five or six jobs.
Maybe I should root for Cliff to continue to swoon so that he doesn't leave. He was not in his bag last week.
Well, swooned to a certain point.
He lost his bag. Valdez.
Hopefully he rediscovered it during the mini bye.
I don't know where he left it in his trunk or something, or is it somebody, I don't know, left on a team bus.
He might have lost it with JD's rib.
Yeah, his bag has a dent right here. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong side. His bag has a dent in it. If a bag can have a dent,
he was not Cliff's in his bag. Yeah. I need Cliff to be in his bag this week, Cakes.
He's going to have a couple get right games. That's the thing, get right games.
I'm not sure the NFC East opponents are ever get right games.
I think this Dallas team is worse than you think they are.
I hope so.
You're going to see them on display tonight.
I hope you're right.
I think the Texans are going to go in there and give them the business tonight.
Your tooth okay over there? You had your root canal on Thursday. You never really talked about it.
Root canal Thursday. Potentially two more looming.
Oh my God.
Man. I'm not kidding.
It's a lot.
Well,
at
least one more, potentially two tooth extractions.
Oh, man.
It's a disaster.
I've been telling you for years, dentures. Just start over.
Dentures. I'm not doing dentures. I want to have teeth.
Not yet.
Got to get out of here for Cake, CB, of JP. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next right here on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.